Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to Let's Get Psyched. My name is Annabelle Ganey. I'm a crisis counseling student. I am, just talking about psychology, talking about pop culture, talking about characters and movies and TV and all the things that I see. Please don't take any of my advice and use it in your own personal life. I am not a licensed therapist, and I'm not your therapist yet. Well, I might be one day, but as of right now, I'm not. So, please don't take my advice and apply it to your life, and I'm really excited to get this episode started. Yee! Hello! Hello, friends. How are ya? How's your holidays? How are, all the things? I hope they're good. You're making it through the countdown to Christmas, getting all your shopping done, making it through all this dang traffic. Oh, gosh. So, it has been requested that I cover the Netflix show You. Pretty interesting show, like a psychological thriller with murder and affairs and manipulation and all the things. The second season is coming out, I think, the day after Christmas, so that's pretty exciting. The first season ended with quite a big, unexpected result, I'd say. But the main focus of the show that, the main character I'm going to focus on is Joe, Goldberg. He's the guy who narrates the main character, and he's the... Hi, puppy. He's the crazy one, for sure. So let's jump into this. Joe's childhood, the place of all places to start analyzing people, your childhood. An interesting thing that I feel like not most people are aware of, maybe they are, I don't know, but... is that a lot of our survival responses or tendencies we have, we develop out of any type of major childhood adversities. There's a lot of studies about this, how childhood adversities can impact our health in the long term. People who have high numbers on the ACE score, which is like a, basically like a test to see... like in your childhood, different adversities you had, and the higher your A score, the more likely you are to develop a autoimmune disease. So they found tons of connections like that, which I find really interesting. Anyways, so Joe, it seems from what the series explained that he didn't have the best childhood, that seemed to be, at least when he was with his biological parents, abusive. Obviously he was put into, he was put into foster care. So obviously that means that whatever the situation going on in his family life wasn't good. And so then he was put into the care of Mr. Mooney, who is the one who owns, who originally owned the bookstore. Well, Mr. Mooney himself is all kinds of crazy. And locked Joe in a glass cage in the bookstore basement. So as you can see, as a teenager, you know, even younger than that, that's gonna cause some issues. A, not socializing, only socializing with the person who is holding you captive. B, you aren't able to develop any type of a physical sense of being loved. And then you're not able to develop normal social skills. So Joe already hasn't seen a normal loving family with his biological parents, and then gets placed into Mr. Mooney's care, and that's how he treats him. So his way of relating to people and, expressing himself is already messed up. I mean, he, Mr. Mooney, you know, gives him all these books to read. And that's really Joe's outlet, is these books. That's where he reads about love. That's where he reads about adventure and the outside, basically. And that's where I think he really develops, A, his intelligence. He's extremely, extremely smart. But he also, I think, develops this kind of view of how he thinks a person should be loved, how he thinks a person should respond to you loving them, how he thinks just this very fiction-esque worldview and thoughts of how the world should operate, and especially in terms of relationships. So once Joe is freed from all that, when Mr. Mooney dies and takes over the bookstore and whatnot, he is a, first of all, a stalker. Second of all, a narcissist, which I think he developed that narcissistic tendency out of purely of survival, of he needed, he had to do everything for himself because no one else would help him. And then I think that he also has antisocial personality disorder. It's a mental condition in which a person has a long-term pattern of manipulating, exploiting, or violating the rights of others without any remorse. Sounds pretty spot on to Joe. He could have borderline personality. People with borderline personality, though, I wouldn't say murder people in it by any means. There are people with borderline personality who you probably meet every day and you don't even know they have it. So maybe if he had a very severe form, borderline personality is a condition characterized by difficulties regulating emotion. They feel emotion intensely and for exper and for expen extended, good Lord, period of times. And emotional events can trigger them to just act abruptly. And I think that Joe, in this case, when things don't go his way, that's when he murders, like kind of. Something comes against him unexpectedly emotionally, and he just like loses his crap. You could say he is a sociopath. I mean, it seems that he cares for Paco a lot because he sees his childhood in Paco's life, and he just has a really interesting sense of right and wrong, like morally, what is, like to him, it seems morally it's acceptable to remove a person from someone's life who is manipulating or abusing their attention or anything, but yet he's doing the same thing and he's not having the self-awareness that he is also manipulating and abusing the attention of people. That's why he doesn't like Peach, is they're kind of cut off the same fabric of they live off the emotional support and attention of others and are kind of fake and play into this whole thing in order to get that attention that they so desperately need to validate themselves. But obviously Peach wasn't a killer and wasn't, she was a narcissist for sure, but she wasn't to the level that Joe is at. Because spoiler, you know, Joe ends up killing Beck, you know. He ends up like she doesn't do or be the person or act in the moral way that he expects of her and that he expects of everyone. And so then he kills her. And if you don't fit his kind of checklist of, well, this is how you should love me, and this is, you know, this is how people love each other. This is how, you should treat me in this, you know what I mean? It's just kind of this strange, he's got this strange moral list to me, that he kind of lives by, and a lot of it seems derived by books and this kind of fantasy world of, well, because I'm giving it my all, you should give it your all. And if you don't, and you defy those expectations or the expectations I put on you, then that gives me a right to basically kill you. He seems like he justifies a lot of his murders by just explaining, like, well, they were a bad person, or they weren't what was best for Beck, or they weren't, you know what I mean? Which is, he's got the plank in his own eye. He can't see that he's a pretty horrible person, and it's unfortunate that, you know, I think he's just so desperate for love, so desperate for the acceptance and everything he needed as a child that he didn't get, that he isn't realizing or self-aware of the fact that he is the thing that he hates about other people. Which is such an interesting thought, you know, of becoming the thing you hate about other people, but not even realizing it. He hates how manipulative Peach is. He hates, you know, all these different things. And yet, that's what he is also. It really just makes you think, like, the lack of socialization and only having books and only having Mr. Mooney to talk to and whatnot. If you hear that noise, it's the air. But it really just makes you think of, like, how our minds can kind of create their own moral system, or create, like, he wasn't influenced by the outside world of morals, right? Clearly, because he was kept in the glass cage for so long. So he only had Mr. Mooney's morals, which were highly bizarre and not normal. And then what he was reading in the books. And it's interesting how he has twisted it all into this sense of right and wrong for his life, and right and wrong for other people, and yet not having the realization of, like, that he could be the one that's wrong, or that he could be the one that, you know, is crumbling psychologically. So I just, it's a really, really interesting series because he is so intelligent. You know, he wants to see into people's heads. He wants to be able to, like, know the every move of a person. And he is very intuitive. He's a watcher that, well, watcher is a nice word to say, basically stalker. But he does watch people, their actions, their tendencies, their, you know, he's a master manipulator. He picks up on all of those things and knows how to manipulate it. And he preys on those who are desperate and insecure enough, to kind of accept the lowest bar so that they become dependent on him and he has complete control at that point. And that way he can morph the relationship into his dream relationship. You know, he chooses girls who are highly insecure or who don't see any self-worth within themselves or anything like that. And then he preys on that, you know, becomes the perfect person for them, builds them up in the right ways. This makes them very dependent and attached to him, and you know, that type of thing. And those are the really the perfect people to for a person like this to go after, because blindsiding them for the first few weeks or months of dating, of look how perfect I am. I every need, like just catering to everything that person wants and has desired. I see you, I know you, blah blah blah, all that bull crap. You know. And then after they feel like they've gotten that person attached, they can, you know, flip it and become controlling and more domineering and more whatever. That happens a lot in abusive relationships. A lot of times, you know, the first few months are normal, or are the person, the girl or whoever it is, even some guys don't realize the person they're dating, who they really are, because that person is manipulating and hiding behind this facade. And it isn't normally until a person has fallen in love or they move in together or some big step that then that person will drop the facade and their true colors will show. And that's when a lot of abuse can happen. And then that person, A, can be manipulated into feeling like everything is their fault, but also B, can, don't bark. These dogs are about to bark. And then, you know, can, that's just when everything can go wrong. You know, just because then they feel like it's a them problem because this perfect person has chosen them and now I'm doing something wrong. And it's this constant mental game that they play in order to have control and in order to get what they want all the time and justify abusive things they do because, well, it's your fault. Look, if you didn't make me do this, if you didn't do that, which made me do this, and this whole game. And I think Joe is kind of a master at that in a way of using, manipulating situations and painting things in a way to get what he wants. Yeah. So my encouragement to you is, if you are in a relationship where you constantly feel like you are the crazy one, or you are the constant problem, or you are, you know, constantly made to feel like you're crazy, or you're the issue, or you're this, or you're that, I just challenge you to really reflect on, okay, everyone has issues and stuff to work on. I understand that completely. We can always get better at communicating. We can always get better at certain things. But if it's an always a you thing and never a them thing, and they shame you and they make you feel horrible, and then they make you do that to get what they want ultimately, run. Run, 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 run far away. And I know that's easier said than done, but there, I promise, if you reach out to people, family or friends, or even there's certain shelters and hotlines and different things, abuse is abuse. It, mental, physical, sexual, emotional, it's all abuse, and none of it's okay to live with and be in a relationship with. And, you know, just because he's better than your last whatever or whatever, that type of mentality does not give them a right to still verbally abuse you or whatever. Just because someone's better than your last ex, or better than, you know, he treats me better than my dad treated me or whatever. No, 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 no. No one deserves to be in a relationship like that. No one deserves to be treated like that. And you're worth more than that. And, you know, I challenge you to A, find a really good counselor that you can work through a lot of the trauma of a relationship like that from, but also to help you find your sense of worth, that your worth doesn't come from a man or a woman. Your worth doesn't come from what they say about you, what they think about you. You inherently have worth because you're alive and you're here and you are present and you are you. And I know that that can be a really hard thing to kind of come to a conclusion of, especially if you've been codependent on someone else. But I just really encourage you, don't spend your life thinking, well, this is the best I'll ever get, even though I'm being manipulated and abused, and out of fear of that, nothing better will come along, because that's a lie. And ultimately, you would rather live a happy life single and free from shame and manipulation and guilt and other things than bound in chains to some jerk who doesn't actually give a crap about you. So yeah, sorry for that rant, but I feel very passionate about it. And the passion comes from my own experience of being in a terrible relationship that was like that. And thank the Lord I'm free from that and have amazing friends and family who've gathered around me and supported me. And I've been out of that almost 4 years, and it's the best thing that's ever happened. But I remember being in it and thinking, well, I don't know if anyone, just struggling with my self-worth. I don't know if anyone will, I'll find anyone better. And that's a lie. It's a total lie. And, being free from it now, it's the best thing ever. And I'm so thankful. So to anyone out there who's in a relationship and struggling, oh man, first of all, I'm so sorry. Second of all, have courage, gather some friends, gather some family, and get out of it. Try your best. And I know that's hard and scary, but I can tell you right now it's worth it. Well, Merry Christmas. What a way to end another episode. But, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for sending me recommendations. Please continue on to send me any recommendations or things that you're just interested in knowing more about. I really enjoy doing this. It's a really fun thing for me to just kind of think in a different way about different personalities and different disorders and kind of just investigate a little bit. So I'm really thankful that anyone actually listens to this and that you guys recommend stuff. It's super fun and super interesting. And if you have any other ideas about Joe or about you or even any of the other characters, please feel free to reach out to me on Instagram at Gainey Annabelle. I would love to discuss any other ideas about this for sure. Or even if you just want to message me privately about resources, if you are stuck in an abusive relationship or something, then totally do that as well. Whew! Well, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy holidays, whatever you aren't offended by, I guess. Lord. I just hope you have the best holiday ever. And thanks for listening, and love y'all. Bye.